This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Now, there's been an ongoing fight to get Beyond Blue, the peak national body dealing with depression, to take the special needs of gay and lesbian people seriously, especially the young and the elderly. We thought we were getting somewhere with them, but when they published their latest clinical guidelines on depression, gay issues got a one-line mention. This despite their previous promise to make GLBTI issues a priority this year. CEO head Leonie Young had this to say.
That's why the guidelines are in draft format for 60 days while they are out for public comment, public and professional and clinical comment. They're actually clinical practice guidelines on the treatment of depression in young people from the 13 to 18 and 19 to 24. There was a systematic literature review on all the published research worldwide on treatment and recommendations for treating depression in adolescents.
So that produced all that review of all that literature produced nothing, relatively speaking, or very nearly next to nothing, about depression in same-sex attracted youth. Rob Mitchell of the RJM Trust begs to differ, and he's a wee bit cross about it, aren't you, Rob?
Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Fine. You met Leonie yesterday, didn't you?
I was actually on Tuesday. I've got to say it was the first time I can recall ever walking out of a meeting after an hour and a quarter where I didn't get overly angry at that point. I just stood up and said that clearly this was just a waste of time, which it was a waste of time, and that, I really wish that I hadn't spent the money on the diesel driving from the farm down, because diesel's $1.24 a litre, and it was just a waste of time. I mean, it's worth recapping where we just for your listeners, just so that we know, you know, where we're at.
Yes, please do.
In June 2008, we as a community lent on Beyond Blue to, you know, review the data and the research that was around, and they didn't do it of their own volition. Of course, it was only after we lent on them they engaged the La Trobe University to go through the research data. They did that. They had that report in their hands September, October 2008. If you recall, they then sat on it for some 9 months, and after, you know, continually being frustrated there, we engaged the Sunday Age to, you know, to say, look, you know, what are you doing? And of course, that then promoted some frenetic activity. And they then, of course, had the conference at the end of last year.
This is this sort of round table thing they had where they got community representatives together, yeah?
Exactly. So they had, look, you know, there would have been close to 100 people there at the airport hotel. And Mr. Kennett was there, and Leonie and so on, and obviously a heap of representatives from the GLBTI community. There was a very warm feeling. I've got to say, I was singularly impressed with that conference. They managed to get through the entire day without my name being mentioned once. So that was, I guess.
But what was supposed to be the outcome of that conference? Because I understood that they were kind of saying at that conference they were going to make GLBTI issues a priority this year.
Well, they did. They said that they were going to make GLBTI, and particularly GLBTI youth, the priority, because that's where the research said that there was a big problem. You know, we've got this rate of depression and anxiety in that cohort of around 5 to 6 times, you know, their heterosexual counterparts.
So then they were accepting that was there in the literature, but now they've suddenly reviewed all this literature and they haven't found that that they'd previously found.
Well, exactly.
I don't understand.
Well, of course, there is no sense in it. And the problem is that, you know, what has happened, if we just pause there, what has happened with the National Health and Medical Research Council, which is the peak health research body in this country, we've actually had no clinical guidelines around the treatment of adolescent depression since 2004. The existing guidelines were, rescinded or abolished in 2004 because they were, you know, deemed to be inappropriate. So what happened was a couple of years ago, and this is really important, a couple of years ago, Beyond Blue said to the NHMRC, we'll develop some guidelines. So in the same two-year time frame that we've had one arm of Beyond Blue telling us that GLBTI is going to be a priority, we've had another Beyond Blue working committee putting these guidelines together, And the end result is that the left hand hasn't been talking to the right hand.
But hang on a minute. This committee is actually... They're supposed to have reviewed all the published literature. Yes?
They say what they
because I mean I've Googled about teenage depression and GLBTI issues and that, and there's absolutely tons of material out there that make it very. I mean I pulled up one just on Spec that dates back to 2002.
Oh look, the literature is full of it. If you don't use the normal Google search engine, if you use Google Scholar, you'll see tens of thousands of articles. They say that what has happened is that they started with this massive data set of articles, that they then whittled that massive, massive data set down to 57,000 studies, right? And this has all been subcontracted out to Adelaide University. I mean, and Beyond Blue are experts at subcontracting stuff out, and so the accountability chain is extraordinarily murky, or they think it is. It's actually not so murky. So they then say, well, of that 57,000 articles, how many, or 57,000 studies, how many do you reckon that they then looked at and they found acceptable around GLBDI?
I'll give you a quick guess at zero.
One. They found one in Norway. And I said, but how can this be so? How can we have 135 pages of clinical guidelines which talks about, you know, various of the treatment, diagnosis and so on, and for example, they look at the risks associated with Indigenous adolescents, and the references are peppered throughout there, and, you know, and there's quite, you know, there's a comprehensive treatment. I said, well, how can we have that with Indigenous, but we can't have that with GLBDI? What is going on? And
yeah.
I said, oh, well...
What's so special about that one document, that they love that one and they hate all the other 56,999?
Well, this is the thing. What they've done is they've applied this filter, which they couldn't really tell me what it was, because Adelaide University did it, but they've applied this filter, which is, you know, and this filter may work well for populations that are massive in size, for example, you know, heterosexual white males. You know, they apply all these filters, and if you think about it, it makes sense, because what are the number of studies that have been done on heterosexual males and adolescents in depression? There's probably hundreds of thousands. So what they've done is they've used a filtration system to bring that back down. But that's the problem. The method that they're using is inherently homophobic. I mean, it makes perfect sense, because what they've done is they said, oh, okay, we've got, you know, because if you think about, you know, the US, the UK, all the European countries, Asia, there's, you know, tens upon tens of thousands of researchers all doing research around depression. Why? Because it's the biggest killer of men under 40.
Mm.
You know, of course there is all this massive amount of research that's done around, you know, the heterosexual side of things, because 90% of adolescents are heterosexual. I mean,
and so you're basically saying that when they apply these filters, because the study sizes are too small,
that's
for example,
right.
Because we are only 10% at most,
yes,
that we just get dropped out of the bottom.
That's right. And so rather than
the studies are not big enough for them.
But rather than, and this is central to my, you know,
that's
to
a
my
very concern. Curious kind of attitude to take, isn't it?
Well, it's ridiculous, and most relevantly, it's unscientific.
Mm.
That's the relevant consideration here, because the NHMRC are going to approve these guidelines unless we can, you know, get them knocked on the head.
And okay, let me stop you there.
Yep.
The NHMRC, what does that stand for?
So that's the National Health and Medical Research Council.
Okay, right. Now, they commissioned these guidelines from Beyond Blue.
Correct.
Beyond Blue then went and outsourced the job to Adelaide.
So they got Adelaide University to do the research. Beyond Blue set up a working subcommittee inside Beyond Blue itself with staff on secondment from the NHMRC.
Okay.
So when I found out about the guidelines and you know, the problems that were there with GLBDI, I emailed Warwick Anderson, their CEO.
Yes.
And I said, this is ridiculous. You've got to pull these guidelines. There is no way that these guidelines should be, you know, put through. And let's just pause and, you know, these guidelines are going out to every clinician in the country. Okay, the NHMRC, you know, has a massive amount of power. Okay, we cannot let this go through, because
this is like the American sort of mental health manual that goes out. It kind of sets the standard for everybody dealing with mental health throughout
absolutely.
The country.
Absolutely. So
if it says there's no real problem with GLBTI youth and depression, then officially speaking, it doesn't exist.
Exactly. So I'm your son. I come to you. I say to you, oh, Dad, look, I've got something to tell you. You know, A, I'm gay, and B, the other problem is I'm really depressed because, you know, X, Y, Z. And you go, well, I'm not fussed about the fact that you're gay, that's fine, but I'm really, really worried as your dad that, you know, you're depressed and you say that, you know, you're having these suicidal thoughts. So you say, okay, we should take it on to see the GP or you know, some sort of clinician or psychologist. And so I then present, and this clinician or psychologist then says, okay, look, I'll, you know, just see what the best practice is for this particular, you know, as you would. And so you open up the guidelines from the NHMRC, and what's there? And zilch. And so this is, you know, this is a real problem. Now, Warwick Anderson emailed me back and said, well, look, it's nothing to do with us, but this is the money, this is the smoking gun. It's nothing to do with us. All we did was okay the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote straight back and said, well, it makes perfect sense that you've okayed the draft because there are staff on secondment from your organisation. 2 minutes later, he emails me back. This is the CEO, Warwick Anderson, emails me back and says, just to be clear, Rob, we haven't okayed anything. And I wrote back straight away and said, no, you were clear.
You just said you okayed the draft. So.
You've okayed the draft. And that is the process that is inherently homophobic. And there's a legal remedy. And after the meeting with Beyond Blue, and I'm announcing this on you know, to you this morning and your listeners, I've made an appointment to go into the Victorian Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission and lodge a formal complaint under the Act and also invoking the Charter of Human Rights. Because obviously Beyond Blue is a, you know, Victorian organisation. They are funded by the state government, and as you may be aware, I'm seeing the Health Minister Lisa Neville on the 19th of April, and I'll be obviously raising this there. But certainly Beyond Blue, and my advice is that the NHMRC can be named as a respondent as well. And you know, it's my my desire to go through a formal, transparent, fair conciliation process with the Commission, and, you know, doing the conciliating, rather than turning up to Hawthorne and be told, quote, when I said to Leona Young and to Nicole Hyatt, the Deputy CEO, and Suzanne Roper, the Head of Research, when I said, oh, look, you know, this is really unfair, and they said, well, look, you, as Leona said on the soundbite there, you can put in, you know, submissions, and I said, that is profoundly unfair and unsatisfactory. How in 6 weeks are we going to pull together the resources in the GLBDI community, which is already massively stretched? How are we going to pull that together in 5 or 6 weeks to, you know, to put in a submission that would, that counteracts all this that's taken you 2 years to produce? You know, that's profoundly unfair. And they said, no, it's not, you go and organise it.
So, in other words, not our problem, mate.
That's it.
Despite the fact they get how much money from the state government and how much money from the federal government?
They have burnt through, as an organisation, north of $150 million, okay? We provide more than all the other states and territories combined. Victoria, and that makes sense because it's a Victorian-based organisation. Yes. So, you know,
plus they milk a great deal of money out of Movember. And
massive amount. I mean, there's north of $6 million a year coming out of the Movember Foundation.
And with all this money, they can't be bothered to notice us.
No, because we don't fit
their little criteria.
And it's perverse that they purport to be an organisation that is evidence and science driven, because, you know, the science is crap. What else do you say? I mean, and for them to turn around and say to us as a community,
okay, you go fix it,
is parasitic. They're parasites. I mean, the Beyond Blue organisation is simply feeding off us and trying to get us to do their work for them. And this evokes to me, and your older listeners will remember, the Therapeutic Goods Administration in the late 80s with HIV, when we were trying to get treatments fast-tracked and so on, they put themselves up as the font of all knowledge and they knew everything and they were patronising. And as much as I'd like to just walk away from Beyond Blue and write them off as a lost cause, I can't do that, because we cannot have clinical guidelines going out to clinicians that are patently false.
Right. Now, Rob, you've got a website, yeah?
Yes.
On all this. What's the address there?
www.nhmrc.net.
nhmrc.net. If you want more information, if you want to get in touch with Rob, that's where you go, www.nhmrc.net. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Doug.
Best of luck with the case. You will obviously be keeping us informed on this.
I'm sure that there'll be quite a bit of comment.
I'm sure there will. Okay. Thank you, Rob Mitchell.
Thank you.
That was Rob Mitchell there from the RJM Trust announcing live and exclusively on Joy that he's about to take Beyond Blue to the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission, basically for their neglect of our community and the discrimination that that implies, at the very least. You can. What do you think of this latest twist in the inevitably tedious, long-running Beyond Blue saga?
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.